Hey everyone, it's your host here, Jake Hirschman. Excited for you to dive into these highlight episodes, whether you're a longtime listener or first-time listener. These are going to be shortened episodes from the past that bring you the best of the best of the content from great guests. Enjoy these and want to take a quick moment to thank our two sponsors, Suju Organic and Screen Skins. Get your 15% off Suju Organic at sujuorganic.com with the code LIFO, L-I-F-O, and visit screenskins.com for 20% off at checkout with the code LIFO24. Get your screen protector today. Thanks. Enjoy the episode. This is the Life in the Front Office Plus, where we dive deeper into personal and professional development, share nuggets and highlights from previous episodes, and bring you new content to provide insights and perspectives beyond the front office. Enjoy today's episode. When you think about the difference between athletes and executives, right, that they're, to your point about high performers, everybody's competitive, everybody wants to exceed, everybody wants to outperform. They want the recognition, most likely, right? And to your point, there's a self-confidence of, hey, I'm in this role for whatever reason. But the difference between an office and the field or the court is different, right? It's, there's a different daily grind. There's a different window of opportunity. There's it, right? So when you think about the difference between athletes and executives, what's the biggest thing you've seen in terms of that daily mindset, that daily training? Because as an athlete, you're focused on one thing, and that's to train and get better and perform. Whereas in the office, there's a lot more going on between, you know, work dynamics, between organizational culture, right? You just go down the list. What's the biggest difference there?
I think it's similar to, it's a great question. It's similar to, I think, what we see happening when, you know, all throughout professional sports, when you see these incredible athletes who accomplish so much get hired as head coaches. You know, it becomes, this is no longer, you know, it is the same thing, but it's not, because I think the element that you're pointing to is that in the corporate world, there's a certain level of relational skills that you have to have that are will be central to whether or not you progress in your journey. And with competition, we can sometimes get away with not developing those, right? Like in competition, it can be like, screw relational skills. I'm competing against you. Let's go, man. Which is great in some ways too. So I think that executives have a challenge, and this is why, you know, executives tend to, from what I know, and you probably would know even more about this, but they tend to perform extremely well in the corporate world. They tend to perform really well in the business world, because they have a certain level of diligence. They have a certain level of trusting the process. They've been used to being told, do this and then do this and it'll create this, right? And so they come into these working environments and they move up the ranks quickly. They excel fast. The challenge that some may find, former athletes becoming, you know, into the corporate world, is that they may not have the relational skills. And the relational skills are where, when things get tough, rather than leaning on their team, they may go more into the individual mindset or the takeover mindset. Give me the ball. I'm going to Kobe this situation. Get out of the way. None of you want it as bad as me. None of you are capable as me. And that's obviously going to be problematic over the long run. So I think that there's a heavier relational component and focus. And if, you know, it's just like anything, it's like if you're playing a game that is going to require you to have a certain skill in order to excel. For executives, it's looking at mental health. It's looking at relational skills. It's looking at your own internal journey and saying, all right, how's that going to benefit me as an executive, right? I always tie it to the end goal. So we know that executives have to focus on the relational components more. Well, how do we get better relationally? It starts with us. You know, if we are able to do the work ourselves, because we all have stuff we have to work through, all have varied degrees of trauma, all have varied degrees of stuff that we're up against. You know, this old idea that some people over, okay, we'll separate the people with mental health struggles over there, then we're over here, we're the tough ones, and that doesn't work. The reality is we're all going through it. So the ones that are able to lead with vulnerability, engage in a process of working on their stuff, become more vulnerable and in touch and softer towards their internal selves, which allows them to be better relationally. It helps them understand and have empathy for others in team dynamics. This is when you take that person who has that athlete mindset, and then you allow them to grow in these internal ways, relational ways, that's when it gets real. I mean, that's where it's like, you're unstoppable. And I think of someone, you know, I think of a client that I've worked with, Lindsay Vaughn, and just, I worked with her during her transition outside of athletics. Lindsay is one of the most competitive, I wouldn't even say one of the most, because I think she'll probably come after me for that. Sorry, Lindsay, you are the most competitive person I know. Jeez. I mean, like, I'm afraid of even putting that out there. Maybe edit that one out. I know competitive people. You know, I've done profile assessments of her strengths, her competitiveness, achievement off the charts, right? So when she was transitioning out of sport, there's obviously a crisis for her of identity, huge identity crisis. But helping her realize all those strengths that you single-mindedly applied in your diligence to the process of becoming the greatest skier is also the same amount of diligence that I'm going to have you apply to these other areas for your new chapter of your life, being an executive, being an entrepreneur, being an investor, all those things. And so for her, the journey became, okay, well then where do I put my energy? Like the athlete, where do I go work out? Do I go hit balls? What do I do to get better? It starts with you. Let's do some work on you. The buy-in becomes a better version of me, not only helps me feel more at peace, that's a good thing for me. Better quality relationships, that's of course great for me. But on top of that, it gives me the ability now to practice vulnerability in my leadership and in my relational skills. So now I'm able to have a greater ceiling for my capacity to join with others, partner with others. And that helps me in my executive world as well. I did a series of five things I learned, and I called it the psychology of greatness from what I've seen from my clients. And just a few of those things that I've noticed, and something that it's imparted in me is intuition. I think that the greatest intuition and self-expression, the greatest performers, the greatest athletes, and also the greatest executives, and also the greatest moms, and just people in general, they have this deep-rooted sense of belief in themselves, belief in the direction they're headed, but also this rooted confidence that they can trust themselves, they can trust their intuition. You look at the greats, and there isn't, you know, when you look at what we're trying to do, we're trying to get the quarterback to trust himself in a 2-minute, you know, drill the same way he trusts himself in OTAs. Now his body and brain knows it's two different scenarios. We want to get him there. The difference between him thinking about making that throw and instinctually making that throw often in the NFL is the difference between a completion and an incompletion or an interception. So what I've learned from these athletes over and over is that there's a certain amount of, you know, belief that you have to have in your gifts that you have. And this is tangible for all of us. I don't care what you're doing in life. You have a purpose. You have a calling. You have gifts that are inside of you, ready to be unlocked to live out your purpose and your calling. And I think athletes, the ones that are really great, they just are so comfortable with knowing that. It's like, I'm him. I know that. Yeah, of course. Like, I'm that guy. Like, when you put me in that situation, you're giving me the ball in game 7. Come on. Like, I know I can be that guy, which translates to when I'm on the mound, there, when the pressure starts to get thick, which it will, my response becomes to dig deeper into trusting myself, as opposed to now in that moment, the true lack of confidence reveals itself. And I start to now look externally, and now I'm all out here and I'm not here. So there's so much that I learned from them, but I think intuition and then self-expression, that's the other thing too, is that I think, you know, I've worked with musicians and artists as well. And, you know, again, we all have this unique calling, purpose, and gifting for those things to live those things out. And the degree to which we trust it and express it will be the degree to which we see those gifts truly being unlocked. So many of us have had instances in our lives where we haven't been accepted for who we are at our core, that we've gotten away from truly stepping into those gifts, truly stepping into our true selves. We're actually doing our gift a disservice. We're not actually as effective as we can be. So if you look at an athlete, how does that translate to an athlete? Self-expression. Geez, that sounds like something off the court. How does it play into, you know, an on the court type situation? The thing I heard yesterday from those five guys on the way out of those immersions when we were doing those exit interviews was free and easy, free and easy, free and easy. I got two kids, a five-year-old and a seven-year-old. I'll tell you, I don't know how much of life for them unless we're telling them what they have to do. That's a different story. It seems like all of life is free and easy, right? When you're five or seven, you don't got the frontal lobe blocking you, making you think twice. You're intuitive, self-expressive. It's fun. It's free. And think for so many of these athletes that the game has become something so different for them than that. It has become a business. It has become a grind. It has become a constant evaluation process. There's numbers that are associated with them to the point that it takes them away from being human beings. And they feel all of that. And they feel it and they go through it. And so when you're able to really see them for who they are as individuals and humans, it gives them an opportunity to start believing in themselves again, start believing in their gifts again, start expressing themselves again to the world. And they just do better because they're back in touch with playing baseball like they did when they were a kid, when it was free and easy. And all it wasn't about, oh man, my back hip though, I need to really do something to get that hip unlocked. It was just, no, like I'm in my body and grip it and rip it. Like, here it comes, let's go. Like, and it's not to say that the other things aren't helpful. Analytics, you know, adjustments, they're all extremely helpful. It's just that I think we've bogged down so many people, so many athletes, so many performers with these metrics and these evaluations that we haven't come alongside them enough and invited the little kid out and invited, you know, the incredible beliefs and dreams to come back out and enter into the field of play. You know, it's there's always, you know, I say to folks at the end, like, you know, my goal is to give anyone, like I always tell them, like, you know, they have these big giant emotional releases. They have these moments where they feel like they've finally put something behind them that had been weighing them down for years. They have the ability to go back into their place where they once found joy, and it was a craft and it was about competing, and it became about something totally different. It became about safety and survival and just getting through it and gutting your way through. And they can go back to those places and be like, oh my gosh, the joy's there again. I feel like a kid all over again. That to me is my Super Bowl, right? Pour the Gatorade over my head. That's my moment. But what I tell them even in those moments is, just so you know, the hookup is mutual, because, you know, it makes me emotional thinking about it. But I mean, Jake, I get to watch people, you know, I know the question was, what did I take from them? But I'll start with the witnessing part. People come to me in like in very sacred moments in their lives. And I feel like I said, I'm spiritual. I think anyone that got put in a role that I've been put in this last few years, you'd be spiritual too, if you didn't have a spiritual bone in your body when you started, because I just can't explain the fact that for whatever reason, you know, we don't market, we don't go out there, but it's all word of mouth. And when I get in front of these folks, it seems like it's the moment in their life where they're finally ready to take a step forward and to put something behind them and release, like I said, the emotion, stuff from the past. To witness that, forget the lessons I learned, because those are amazing, but to witness that and just be with someone in those moments, it's the reason, you know, I sometimes teams will hire me. I have 3 days with a guy and I'll spend 3 days and we still talk, you know, months and years later, because there's this bond that comes from just seeing someone in such a vulnerable moment. They inspire me because of their courage and their vulnerability. It makes me realize that healing is possible and that science is catching up to understanding and explaining it. It makes me so hopeful. So the hookup I get from them more than anything is that consistently. You know, I went through yesterday working with a team. We went through 5 in a row exit interviews after 3-day immersions, and to hear one after one share these experiences and just reminding me of what it was like to witness them. That's the biggest hookup. The tangible practical hookups that I get, those are also great too. The first team that hired me on, because I was always exclusively players, I don't want to work for teams, all this stuff. Team that hired me as a contractor was the Tennessee Titans. And to go to that point of what do you learn, you know, my relationship with Mike Vrabel to me is just very sacred, very special. And the ability to watch him up close and, you know, and to take things from him and what he's doing in a locker room to keep teams together during a 7-game losing streak, what he's doing to prepare teams when they're the number one seed in the AFC, you know, looking at those things that I get just from being a fly on the wall, I get to be on the sidelines during games in the locker room. I'm constantly absorbing this information. It's impossible to really say. It's like I'm doing this work where I'm helping these players, but everyone from Vrabel to the players I work with in session, they are imparting upon me all of this wisdom. I'm noticing the way they do things, and I'm constantly, the researcher in me, the ethnographer in me is constantly looking at it and just being fascinated by it and also implementing it. So there's countless things. I think that what can you do? One of the greatest frontiers that we will find successful people, you know, engaging upon is mental health, mental performance. If this is an area of your life that you don't have some sort of plan around, if you don't see this, whether you're an executive, whether you're a mom, whether you're an athlete, if you don't see this area as an area of your life that deserves a level of attention and some sort of game plan, then the reality is this entire world is set up to steal your focus and attention to it, and you will not grow in this area. We will truly, at, you know, if we don't do work from the age of 18 to 65 on ourselves, and we're never willing to be vulnerable, never willing to look at ourselves, never willing to do the work, we're too afraid, we will not grow in this area for our entire lived experience. It is up to us on whether or not we want to grow. The benefits are great. They impact your intergenerational family, meaning your kids, their offspring will have new patterns of behavior, new ways of thinking, new ways of showing up in the world by you taking a certain level of responsibility for your own mental health journey. But on top of that, you'll also have greater internal peace. And I'm willing to bet you'll probably perform better in lots of areas of your life. So it's really about not one particular modality, not one particular path, but it's the question of, do I have a plan for this area of my life? And if I don't, then I think the places to go, yes, Calm app is great, but it's a supplement. You know, yeah, what you need to probably look into for the listeners out there is to work with someone that can help you truly start engaging in this work internally. And that's a therapist, a life coach, specifically people that, you know, practice brain-based trauma-informed modalities. Those are the ones you want to look towards. And if you're thinking anything I said kind of like stirs something up and you've never done it and you're afraid, you're not alone. But I'll tell you, the benefit on the other side, even after a session or two, is wild. I've seen so many people go from being afraid of this stuff to being obsessed with this stuff almost overnight, to where they become the biggest advocates. They want everyone doing it. I would implore all of us to have some sort of plan for this element of our lives. We know it exists. We know it matters. It's crucial. And so I think we can all start by just simply asking ourselves, what's my plan that I'm going to have for how I'm going to level up internally, my mental game, whatever it is that you want to call that.
Thanks for listening to today's episode on the Life in the Front Office Plus. And remember to share with a friend or colleague, leave a review, and tune in to each weekly or monthly episode across our shows.